The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Hello, 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 and welcome to a brand new week here on the Nicole Sandler Show. I am Nicole. Thank you for joining us here at NicoleSandler.com or perhaps on the Progressive Voices Network or maybe Netroots Radio or GDPR or any of the other places. Or you listen to the podcast. However you listen, I thank you for doing so. And if you support the program, I thank you even more. I bet some of you were probably thinking I was going to start the show today with If It Were Up to Me, the song by Cheryl Wheeler that's about mass shootings. But I figured, you know what? The shooting was Saturday. Today is Tuesday. I think it loses the immediacy of it. Then I thought, well, should I start with a comedy bit? And just to come out of the gate with a random comedy bit made no sense. But what I did find was a bit that deals with the horrendous news events of the past week and still manages to give us, well, at least a smile.
On Saturday in Pittsburgh at the Tree of Life Synagogue, a mass shooter murdered 11 worshipers. It was the worst act of violence against Jewish people in U.S. history. It's tragic, it's sickening, and our thoughts are with the victims, their families, and the larger Jewish community. But more than that, I want to say hate is not what America stands for. And tonight, all of us are with you. Case in point, hours after the shooting, a Muslim group started a crowdfunding site for victims with the goal of raising $25,000. So far, they've raised over $140,000.
It's over $179,000 now.
Right, it's in the book. Tarek El Masidi, the activist who started the page, explained, "We wish to respond to evil with good." Now, I know what you're saying. You're saying, well, yeah, it's easy to have that kind of goodwill between historical friends like the Jewish people and Muslims. And I was also inspired by the 2,500 people who turned out on Sunday for a memorial service at the University of Pittsburgh, where Rabbi Jonathan Perlman said, "What happened yesterday will not break us. It will not ruin us. We will continue to thrive and sing and worship and learn together and continue our historic legacy in the city with the friendliest people that I know. Yes, it is going to take a lot more than this to break the resolve of the Jewish people. They will continue to worship, to learn, and to sing." And naturally, in times like these, our nation looks to its president for comfort and guidance. Right. That's our first mistake. Immediately after the shooting, Trump told reporters how the attack in Pittsburgh could have been prevented. Spoiler alert, it's more guns.
This is a case where if they had an armed guard inside, they might have been able to stop him immediately.
Yes, it's so simple. In fact, why didn't the Jewish people have an armed guard for the last 5,000 years? Moses could have saved a lot of time walking in the desert if Pharaoh knew he was packing. You know what I mean? Okay, back up, Pharaoh.
Now, some people thought Trump should cancel his rally that he had planned for Saturday night, but he explained why he didn't cancel the rally at the rally he should have canceled.
Dick Grasso, a friend of mine, great guy, he headed up the New York Stock Exchange on September 11th, and the New York Stock Exchange was open the following day.
He
said,
wasn't.
And what they had to do to open it, you wouldn't believe. We won't even talk to you about it. But he got that exchange open.
That is an inspiring story, if any of it was true. Because the New York Stock Exchange was closed until September 17th. Yep. So, Trump's instinct when addressing a tragedy was to lie about another tragedy. I think lying about anything associated with 9/11 is a disqualifier for the presidency, or really, having any job. Okay, Bill. Of course, the tragedy this weekend makes the serial bomber last week. The FBI caught that guy who did it, Florida maniac and guy who uses the Just for Men stencil pack. Cesar Sayak, this alleged criminal, was arrested on Friday morning at an AutoZone car part shop in Florida, which, let's face it, is definitely not the first time someone has said that sentence. Here's what we know about Sayak so far. He's 56 years old, and in the past, he's worked as a DJ and spent much of the past decade living out of his van. Living out of his van? My God, he's the most successful DJ I know. And there's no way to know for sure if Sayak was a fan of President Trump unless you see him at a Trump rally or posing in a MAGA hat in front of Trump's bus.
Yeah.
Or check out his van, which features the world's most MAGA-tastic fan art collage. He might as well have had a bumper sticker that said, "If this van's a rockin', it's because I'm making pipe bombs to send to the people pictured on the side of the van." Now, with Sayak's adoration of Trump, and the fact that everyone Sayak sent a bomb to was someone that Trump had targeted in his speeches, it's reasonable to ask if the president's racist fear-mongering and declaring so-called enemies of the people in any way encourages violence toward the people he calls enemies. Reporters asked if the president bears any of that responsibility, and here's what Sarah Huckstand said.
The only person responsible for carrying out either of these heinous acts were the individuals who carried them out.
And the president agrees. There's only one place to put the blame. The fake news media, yep. The true enemy of the people, must stop the open and obvious hostility and report the news accurately and fairly. That will do much to put out the flame, dot, 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 of anger and outrage. And we will then be able to bring all sides together in peace and harmony. Fake news must end. Nothing, okay, the point is, nothing I say influences anyone. But if the news keeps influencing people by saying what I said, I'm just going to say, I told you so.
And there you have a bit of Stephen Colbert from last night, taking on the two big stories of the weekend. First, the capture of the alleged MAGA bomber right down here in Florida. Yeah, Florida. Was not surprised in the least. And so that happened. And then on Saturday, the shooting at the synagogue. And here we go again. The doublespeak coming from the Trump administration, where he takes no, blame or no, piece of, you know, the breakdown in discourse, to put it, euphemistically, that got us to this place. And he just kept it up. He didn't cancel a single one of his rallies over the weekend, and he did a whole bunch of them in the wake of the shootings. It's mind-blowing that somebody could be so dense, that somebody could be so unaware of what a feeling compassionate person, of how that person would act in a similar situation. Today, he's already there, or he went to Pittsburgh, and nobody wanted him there. The funerals are just starting today, and Jewish people bury their people very quickly. And so Trump is going to take away needed resources, because when you've got 11 funerals to deal with, you need police escorts and all that. It's insane. Insane. So I'm sure we'll talk about that along with Gotta Laugh, who joins us today. Today's Tuesday. Oh, my God. But we've got someone on the phone. Hi, who's this?
This is Ryan from Virginia.
Hi, Ryan from Virginia. What's on your mind?
I'm doing pretty well. But I want to share something with you because, you know, this is nothing new in our society. But I think a lot of us in this country are over our head when you're talking about why our politicians haven't done anything about these gun things. And most of these guns that are being used in these shootings are legalized guns. They're not guns that are off the black market.
Right.
So I want to read you something that I read in a book called The ISIS Papers some years ago.
Okay, how long is this?
It says here.
Wait, how long is this? Because honestly, to have you read something that goes on is really,
no, it's not
really,
long. It's okay. Not long at all.
All right.
The gun is the symbol in the white supremacy system. Cannot be banded because it is a symbolic phallus substitute for the white male. The white male's penis and testicles genetically cannot annihilate black and other non-white males, but his gun can. Therefore, to ban the gun for the white male is to castrate him symbolically to remove his defense mechanisms for the ever-present threat of white genetic annihilation.
Okay, that's bullshit. I'm sorry. I'm
and
a white
that's
person.
Why you cannot
it's
get
bullshit.
The gun.
All right. All right. Thank you for the call. I wouldn't waste any more time on that because that was just pure bullshit. But thank you for the call anyway. All right. So we've got a lot of stuff going on. I know Laffy's got a million tweets. So let's get right to what's news. It covers the rest of the stories going on today. Oh, and a few other things before we get into it. Let me tell you two new breaking stories since I did what's news this morning. The Office of the Special Counsel investigating the 2016 election has asked the FBI to investigate whether women have been offered money to make claims of sexual harassment against Robert Mueller. A spokesman for the special counsel's office told The Hill in an email, quote, when we learned last week of allegations that women were offered money to make false claims about the special counsel, we immediately referred the matter to the FBI for investigation. And apparently there's some right-wing operative who is now claiming that he's got on November 1st, he's going to spill the beans on the first woman to come forward to say that Robert Mueller sexually assaulted her. It was all set up by this guy, Cole, I think is his name. So if you see that, know what it is. It's sort of a wannabe, oh God, what's his name? The Veritas guy, the little twerp, the guy who edits videos deceptively. I can't think of his name. That's all right. You know, you know who I'm talking about. And we don't even need to talk about him anymore. Oh, and the other story that amused me is a news alert came into my inbox from the Washington Post. Paul Ryan, in an interview with some station in Kentucky, said the 14th Amendment is clear.
James O'Keefe,
thank you. Yeah, see, I don't need to know his name. He also said that Republicans did not like it when President Barack Obama changed immigration laws by executive action and that reversing the Constitution would be a lengthy process. Quote, you cannot end birthright citizenship with an executive order, Paul Ryan said, so going up directly against his boss, you know, the orange one. I've got that story in What's News. So I'll tell you what, let's just get there and we'll come back on the other side with Gotta Laugh. It's the Nicole Sandler Show at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network. Oh, it would help if I turned up the volume.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Buildings in Pittsburgh were illuminated in blue Monday night in tribute to the 11 people killed in the shooting attack on the Tree of Life Synagogue, called the deadliest attack against Jews in U.S. history. The first funerals for the victims being held Monday, the day after the suspect made his first court appearance. Trump and his wife visit the city Tuesday, but more than 35,000 people have signed an open letter to the president from the leaders of a Pittsburgh-based Jewish group who say the president will not be welcome in the city unless he denounces white nationalism and stops targeting minorities.
We anticipate the president is going to come here to the synagogue with the First Lady. Mr. Trump has already said he's going to the hospital to visit one of the wounded officers.
Robert Bowers was in a wheelchair during his roughly 10-minute court appearance on Monday. The 46-year-old accused shooter said very little except yes when the judge asked him if he understood the charges against him, which include federal hate crimes, that he could face the death penalty for. It has been 3 days since the violence, and emotions in this tight-knit community are still raw. Some, including the Pittsburgh mayor, Bill Peduto, fear that a visit from the president is just too soon.
The last thing I want to see is while these families are burying those that they lost, that there are protests and streets being closed and other things that are taking away from the most important thing that we can do, which is honoring the dead.
Look, the rabbi of the synagogue here, the Tree of Life, says the president is always welcome. But the rabbi of one left-leaning Jewish group says he wants the president to stay away until Mr. Trump denounces white nationalism. Today, the funerals begin. Among the first to be buried, Dr. Jerry Rabinowitz and David and Cecil Rosenthal. They were brothers.
Trump's critics in both parties have blamed the president's rhetoric for the spate of violence, and many in Washington are calling on politicians from both parties to lower the heat. Sarah Sanders held the first White House press briefing in weeks on Monday. Jim Acosta of CNN took issue with the president in the wake of the synagogue shooting and the MAGA bomber, again calling the press the enemy of the people.
Shouldn't you reserve the term enemy for people who are actually the enemy of the United States rather than journalists?
The president's not referencing all media. He's talking about the growing amount of fake news that exists in the country, and the president's calling that out.
May I ask a follow-up, please? Since you mentioned that, the president said this morning the fake news media, the true enemy of the people, must stop the open and obvious hostility and report the news accurately and fairly. Can you state for the record which outlets that you and the president regard as the enemy of the people?
I'm not going to walk through a list, but I think those individuals probably know who they are.
Would that include my outlet, which received
I don't think it's necessarily specific to a general, broad generalization of a full outlet at times. I think there's individuals that the president would be referencing. Jordan.
You're not going to state for the record then. I mean, if the president is going to say the fake news media are the enemy of the people, and if you're going to stand there and continue to say that there are some journalists, some news outlets in this country that meet that characterization, shouldn't you have the guts, Sarah, state which outlets, which journalists are the enemy of the people?
Well, I think it's irresponsible of a news organization like yours to blame responsibility of a pipe bomb that was not sent by the president. Not just blame the president, but blame members of his administration for those heinous acts.
The Trump administration has announced it is sending at least 5,200 active duty troops to the border this week in what officials defended as a necessary response to a roughly 3,500 person refugee caravan still weeks from reaching the United States. Trump, during an interview with Axios, said he'll sign an executive order to end birthright citizenship for babies born on U.S. soil to non-citizens and undocumented immigrants. Any such action would challenge U.S. law, the Constitution, and wind up in court.
On immigration, some legal scholars believe you can get rid of birthright citizenship without changing the Constitution.
With an executive order.
Exactly.
Right.
Have you thought about that?
Yes.
Tell me more.
It was always told to me that you needed a constitutional amendment.
Right. 14th Amendment.
You don't. Number one, you don't need that. Number two,
I mean, that's in dispute.
You could definitely
that's very much in dispute.
Well, you can definitely do it with an act of Congress, but now they're saying I can do it just with an executive order. Now, how ridiculous. We're the only country in the world where a person comes in, has a baby, and the baby is essentially a citizen of the United States for 85 years with all of those benefits. It's ridiculous. And it has to end.
Have you talked about that with counsel?
Yeah. I have.
So where in the process?
It's in the process. It'll happen. With an executive order. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah,
that's
exactly
very interesting.
What I'm talking
about. I didn't think anybody but knew that but me. I thought I was the only one.
In an interview with Laura Ingraham of Fox, Trump also said he planned to put people from the caravan who apply for asylum into new tent cities that would be all over the place.
But what if they're applying for asylum? Isn't the law because Congress didn't
change
the law?
If they apply for asylum, we're going to hold them until such time as their trial
takes
place.
Where? Do we have the facilities?
We're going to build tent cities. We're going to put tents up all over the place. We're not going to build structures and spend all of this, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. We're going to have tents. They're going to be very nice.
And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
You're listening to The Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
And now, it's time for The Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Yes, it is that time of the week again. Every Tuesday we get together with Gotta Laugh and talk about what's going on in the news. As crazy as it is, news that we take from Laffy's Twitter feed. So we got to get her first on the line. So, okay, hello.
Well, yes, you've reached the things that Trump doesn't like about the MAGA bomber hotline.
Okay.
Press 1 if you think Trump was annoyed that he wasn't CC'd on the letter bombs. Press 2. If you think Trump was put off because he only likes murderous, deranged Trump fans who aren't captured.
Oh, right.
Press 3. If you think Trump was irked because the Trump pictures on the van were unflattering. Have a nice day.
Is there any way to have a flattering picture of him?
No.
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 Of course
not. Only in his little tiny itsy bitsy weensy mind.
Mm-hmm.
If you can call it a mind.
What a fucking weekend, huh?
Oh my God, yes. Okay, we should get right to it. I've got about 3 billion tweets.
Okay, and I'm sure it covers all the good stuff.
Everything.
So, all right. Let loose the birds!
Welcome to my tweet spot.
All right, birdies are all yours.
Oh, my goodness. Well, some of these may be repeats of your headlines. I don't remember anymore.
Okay.
This is from Rachel Maddow. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's a headline. I didn't even mean for this to come up. A supervisor at the Interior Department sent sexually explicit messages to 3 subordinate employees and inappropriately used department surveillance to capture images of employees without their knowledge.
Oh, my God. The Interior. That's Ryan Zinke's department?
Yeah, he's already in trouble. So
good.
Whoopee!
All right, let's show him the door, too.
Yep, I totally forgot to take that tweet down. I was actually using it for something else and for myself to read, and there it was. So good, I'm glad I had it. Okay, this was from yesterday, but I wanted to make a point. This is how I started my day. Every day, I blurry-eyedly open my phone up and look at the headline, the news alerts. Here's the 3 I saw first. Angela Merkel confirms she won't seek re-election as leader of Germany's CDU. She'll also quit politics after stepping down. Student shot at North Carolina school, another student in custody. All 189 people on Lion Air Flight 610 are feared dead after it crashed in Indonesia. The country has long struggled with air safety problems. And happy Monday, everybody. That was yesterday.
And that was a brand new airplane, like a new model, new plane. Then they don't know why it just fell out of the sky.
Oh, God, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
It's so hard to keep up with all the stories.
Yes.
Sometimes I don't click over to read the details anymore because there's just too many things. Here's a thread from yesterday that our buddy Stone Kettle wrote. Now, I'm just going to read the thread. It's a mistake to look at Trump's actions in isolation. You must look at the whole. Trump designates migrants as the enemy, as criminals and terrorists and a threat to national security. He then directly threatens military force and orders the army to the border. That's how he opens. At the same time, Trump declares Democrats as aiding and abetting the enemy. He directly declares the press as the enemy of America. Trump's spokesman pointedly refuses to rule out suspension of habeas corpus or suspension of posse comitatus, and again declares the press as the enemy of the people. Trump supporters are already attacking the synagogues and engaging in acts of terrorism against the Trump's declared political enemies. They killed Heather Heyer in Charlottesville. They tried to kill progressive leaders last week. They'll kill you next. Congress and the court are supposed to be a check on Trump's power. But Congress and the court are now firmly in his tiny hands, and there is no check on his power. None. You shouldn't need any more comparisons to 1930s Germany. You have to be blind not to see it. There is only one hope now. You must flip the House and Senate. You must take the state governments. You must show up. If you don't, then there is no check on fascism at all. You must show up or America will fall. If you ever wondered what you'd do as Hitler rose to power, look at what you're doing right now or not doing. There is no longer a middle ground. You either show up or you're one of them. It's really just that fucking simple.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Later he
says something like, if I sounded extreme, I'm not being extreme. This is really happening. And it's funny because I tweeted the same thing yesterday. I said, this is happening.
Right. Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. Anywho.
You know what I saw a lot of this weekend is different variations on the First They Came For poem.
Yes.
And because it has to do with, the Jews and people not standing up in World War II. But it looks like this is the first they came for the socialists and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me and there was no one left to speak for me.
Yep. There you go.
And that's,
there it is right there.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh
boy. Jason O. Gilbert, he's a comedy writer. He writes for HBO, The New Yorker, other things. He said, remember when interviewing the president was a career milestone? And now Fox News anchors rotate turns doing it like they're bringing home the class gerbil for the weekend.
I'm sorry, what is it that they take turns doing?
Interviewing the president.
Oh, right. They just get to pass him around like a joint.
Yeah, well, they say, you know, like a show-and-tell class gerbil. Like, here, it's our turn to show it. Yeah, he just goes on. He uses them. It's the Trump channel, and it's a propaganda channel and nothing more. And they're part of the White House. They're in the White House.
I would like to hear Shepard Smith interview the orange freaker. Did you hear what he said about this caravan thing?
Mm-hmm.
Let me just play it for those who didn't hear. It's a short clip. This is Shepard Smith on Fox, who is building up this caravan to try to scare you.
Tomorrow, the migrants, according to Fox News reporting, are more than 2 months away, if any of them actually come here. But tomorrow is 1 week before the midterm election, which is what all of this is about. There is no invasion.
Nope.
No one's coming to get you.
Nope.
There's nothing at all to worry about.
Nope.
When they did this to us, got us all riled up in April, remember? The result was 14 arrests. We're America. We can handle it. But, like I said, a week to the election, and Jennifer Griffin's on it from the Pentagon.
All right. So he called him out, and he does that all the time.
Yes, he does. He's good at that.
Yes,
and he doesn't really belong on that channel,
no.
But I'm glad he's on there.
Me too. Me too, because they need someone telling them the truth. Chris Wallace does it occasionally, but Shepard Smith is consistent.
Yeah, he comes out with a message, whereas Chris Wallace does it through questioning. So it's two different approaches, which is good when it happens, if it happens. Student loan, Adam Serwer.
Uh-huh.
He calls himself student loans. Adam Serwer, you can't alter the Constitution by executive order. You want to repeal the 14th Amendment? You do it the old-fashioned way by having enough racist hacks on the Supreme Court to render the constitutional rights of people color meaningless.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to say probably at least 4 votes for whatever spurious nonsense conservative legal groups can cook up to argue the 14th Amendment doesn't say what it says. And between now and then, reporters will help them out with coverage that implies the text or its meaning is debatable. It's not. The point of the 14th Amendment was to forever and end racialized definition of citizenship. But a racialized definition of citizenship is virtually the only ideological project Trump has ever shown a real commitment to beyond cutting his own taxes. Then he does an excerpt from The Atlantic that I'm not going to read because it's long. And then he just says, congratulations to anyone who participates in this for following in the footsteps of some of the worst human beings to ever exist.
Wow.
People are getting worried, and it's showing up in their tweets. I've noticed that. My big thing has been for a long time how the press has been aiding and abetting. And this week, for some reason, or I guess, you know, for obvious reasons, a whole lot of people are saying that. I'm going to read you some of the tweets, but it's becoming more of a message now on Twitter. Like, come on, press, quit parroting him. Come on, press, quit using words that he used, that kind of thing. I'll read you some. I'm pretty sure I have some up here. Anyway, Michael Bromwich, who represented Dr. Blasey Ford, he said less than 72 hours. Oh, this is about the executive order with birthright citizenship thing. Less than 72 hours after the mass murder of Jews that was animated by anti-immigrant hatred, POTUS returns to the same incendiary anti-immigrant themes, birthright citizenship, caravans, tent cities, a total absence of fundamental decency and respect for the Tree of Life victims. Just saying.
Yep. I hear
you. Just saying. There was a big pregnant pause there. I didn't know why I was still there.
Yes, you're still there. I had nothing to say.
Okay,
just had nothing, no comeback to that.
Oh, it was complete.
Yes, it was.
And into itself.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I have a couple on this, I believe. Rebecca Ballhouse of Wall Street Journal, she reported the military is expected to deploy 5,000 troops to the southern border, up from the initial estimates of 800 troops. And then Peter Singer, strategist, said, among the U.S. military units to be sent to the border of Trump's election publicity stunt to stop, quote, a caravan, quote, 1,000 miles away, are three engineer battalions. Imagine the actual good they could have done for hurricane recovery in Florida, North Carolina, Puerto Rico,
USVI. No kidding. But he can send them down to the border. By the way, it is illegal to have armed military inside the United States. They're not allowed to.
I addressed that in another tweet.
Okay.
So I think I have that.
This whole thing is a publicity stunt. It's all bullshit. It's all for show. And he's moving troops around to ostensibly put them in somewhere to do something that they're not allowed to do.
He's putting troops down there so he can scream at his followers at his next ego rally. Look at me. I flex my muscles. I'm putting army men down there, and they're going to kill the bad guys if they try anything. That's all this is. It's a big, like you said, it's a publicity stunt.
Yeah, and well, and I just need to play you a really quick clip from last week. Kirstjen Nielsen, when she was asked about it, and she was asked, are they going to be shooting people? She said, we have no intention right now of shooting people. Listen.
We do not have any intention right now to shoot at people.
Right now? I wasn't going to make you listen to the whole thing.
We have no plans.
Right.
It's not on our desk to do that.
But sure, we'll get there. Of course we'll get there. What do you think?
Of course.
That's what we're doing. This is a coup.
I thought I read somewhere. It just said a report, so it may not be, it may just be a rumor. But she is supposedly up to replace Nikki Haley at the UN.
Oh, God. I have a hard time buying that because I know Trump doesn't like her.
Yeah, so I that's like I say, grain of salt type of thing, but just passing. Tommy Veter, who is co-host of Pod Save America, he said, Trump wants a debate about ending birthright citizenship more than actually doing it. Democrats should say, okay, see you in court. Now back to your plan to get rid of protections for pre-existing conditions.
Right.
My point is Trump wants the midterms to be a fight. This is still him. About immigration. So he's deploying troops and floating drastic changes. Let's have this fight after we win back the House.
Works for me.
Works for me, too. New York Attorney General Underwood tweeted, the Constitution is clear. If Trump's pre-election day ploy to unconstitutionally end birthright citizenship moves forward, we will see him in court.
Good.
Yep. LOL GOP writes, Donald Trump has always believed that the only way you should be able to become a citizen is by marrying an old gross man like Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Yep. Here's David Dayan, our old pal. He said this birthright citizenship thing is so infuriating because it exposes how access journalists become willing dupes through which policy is laundered. In this case, swandered. Here's how it probably worked. This is a little run of tweets here, a little thread. Yeah. There may have been, quote, discussions about ending birthright citizenship amounting to a few hardliners bringing it up and getting shot down. They know they have an ally in Trump. They just have to get it over to him. So one of them chats up Swan saying, hey, quote, hey, we've been talking about this, unquote. The guy knows Swan's interviewing Trump in a matter of days. Maybe he even encourages him to ask Trump about it. Swan complies, and Trump says, quote, I thought I was the only one who knew that, feeding Swan's ego that he has a scoop. Uh-huh. Once he runs it, the issue is squandered. Now it's something, quote, the president intends to do rather than spitballing. And because it's public, the BS machismo of the White House dictates that they can't back down. By planting the trial balloon with an access journalist, it's now a debate. Not that a few lunatics in the White House game planning. The access journalist got played. This scoop wasn't dug out. It was handed over. And for very strategic reasons, no different than Cheney giving scoops about Iraq to the New York Times and then pointing to those stories to justify the war.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
He nailed it.
Yep.
He absolutely nailed it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that clip was just, you know, it was Trump was almost giddy talking about it. Here it is.
On immigration, some legal scholars believe you can get rid of birthright citizenship without changing the Constitution.
With an executive order.
Exactly.
Right.
Have you thought about that?
Yes.
Tell me more.
It was always told to me that you need...
All right, that's enough. That's what
Tell me more. Tell me more.
Yeah, right.
Oh, God. Tell me more. Tell me
but of
more.
Course, Trump,
like, does she have a... Okay.
But Trump, of course, had to say, I can't believe you knew that. I thought I was the only one who knew that. Donald Trump, there's nothing that you're the real that you know that you're the only one who knows it.
Exactly.
Promise.
It's only the lies. He's the only one that knows his own lies.
Yes.
Oh, God. David Simon, he's an author and journalist and a TV writer producer. He said 11 Jewish Americans are murdered for being Jews in their house of worship. And Mike fucking Pence marks the tragedy by having a Christian missionary cosplay.
It was a Jew for Jesus rabbi.
A Jewish rabbi and pray for Republican office holders. I did not make any of this up. Nope. Not a word.
The rabbi was a messianic Jew. Who are not real Jews. They're Jews for Jesus. And in his thing, he said something about our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm reading this, like, what kind of Jew is this? And then I find out he's not at all. He's a Jew for Jesus.
Exactly. This is what they do.
This is Mike Pence.
Pooey. Daniel Dale says, a GOP Texas rep, Pete Olson, called his opponent, Suri Preston Kulkarni. Did I say it right? Liberal Indo-American who's a carpetbagger.
Oh, my God.
Asked why he mentioned Kulkarni's race, Olson told a constituent, quote, I didn't mention his race. Carpetbagger's not a race.
Carpetbagger's not a race?
He originally said a liberal Indo-American who's a carpetbagger. Asked why he mentioned his race. He said, I didn't mention his race. Carpetbagger's not a race.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Ugh. I hate these people. I just really hate these
They're just awful. The Week is reporting a World Wildlife Fund reports that 60% of Earth's wildlife has been lost.
Oh, isn't that horrific? That's just so sad.
I can't even these are the things that keep me up at night. These big, huge things that politics can't address because they won't address. Nobody will address this. You read them, they're gone. Nobody talks about them. They mention climate change sometimes, but they don't talk about gigantic reports like that. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's some more news outlets enabling type thing post. Daniel Dale.
Okay.
It is a true embarrassment that this is still happening 3 years into Trump's incessant lying. The single easiest fix for news outlets, wire services to make is to stop uncritically reprinting his false claims in their headlines and tweets.
But they're so absurd that that's why they get repeated, because they're so out there. I mean, is going to do away with the 14th Amendment by executive order? It's insane. No, you're not. He's going to have a new middle class tax cut, 10%. We'll do it by November 1st. Bullshit. I mean, I gotta play this. This Barack Obama's been on the stump. Maybe it took him too long to get there, but he's there now. And this was in Milwaukee last night.
The president said he'd pass a middle-class tax cut before the next election. Congress isn't even in session. He just makes it up. He says, I'm going to protect your pre-existing conditions, while his Justice Department is in court right now trying to strike down those protections. That is not spin. That's not exaggeration. That's not trying to put a positive glow on things. That's lying.
What we have not seen before in our public life, is politicians just blatantly, repeatedly, baldly, shamelessly lying. Just making stuff up.
I love the call and response. Lying.
Yeah, that was great.
Wasn't that great?
It was just great. Yeah. And I'm glad to see that got a lot of airplay, by the way.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I've seen that clip. Not the very end where he did the call and response, uh-huh. but the two quotes that you put just before that one.
There were two separate clips that I just put together because I thought they belonged together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Amy Siskind says, media, report the news, which is what Trump is doing, trying to get his base to the polls by stoking fear and hate, instead of feeding into it by amplifying his narratives. The word caravan should be used in quotes since it is his branded term.
Yes, and don't call it a migrant caravan. It's they're refugees.
Refugees.
Yeah.
Oh,
damn it.
Fred, now, here's some good news.
Okay.
Fred Guttenberg.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. His daughter was killed in the Parkland shooting. He said, wow, this is a big deal. FedEx just ended its relationship with the NRA.
Wow.
They refused to do this after the Parkland shooting, but I am overwhelmed that they have decided to finally do this. Thank you, FedEx.
Wow, that is good news.
Because of the Pittsburgh shooting. And then I went to the article. Oh, here, I'll just read you the little excerpt that shows up under this quote. The shipping giant is ending discounts for the U.S. gun lobby group's members 8 months after the other firms ditched similar schemes. FedEx says it's an economic decision, not a response. And then it cuts off, so I can't read you the rest.
Uh-huh.
But for economic reasons. I don't even
care
why. Yeah,
because people are boycotting them. There's a new push on to go after Fox's advertisers. I may have to get Angelo Corazon back on the show for Media Matters because he was the original Stop Beck guy.
Yeah, Stop Beck.
And he was just a kid in law school back then. And he used to come on the air with me. He's now the president of Media. He graduated law school. He's now the president of Media Matters. And he's a good guy. And so he's been talking about this. But there's, if you go on Twitter, you'll see a lot of calls, you know, calling out Fox and the advertisers on Fox saying it's time to start pulling your advertising because they're not doing you any favors.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I think you mentioned this. Natasha Bertrand said the special counsel's office was made aware of a scheme to pay off women.
Yeah,
yeah you did because we were talking about James O'Keefe.
Yep.
To pay off women to make up sexual harassment claims against Mueller. It has referred the scheme to the FBI. Okay, I have a few tweets on this.
Okay.
Matt Miller, a justice and security analyst, he said, this seems like a ridiculous, dirty trick by someone desperate to discredit the special counsel. Then Holly Figueroa O'Reilly, who is founder of Blue Wave CS, March for Truth and all that. Holy crap, she says, this is the guy who spent $25,000 trying to prove the Seth Rich conspiracy theory.
Oh, God. That's right. That's who that guy was. That's right.
GOP activist Jack Berkman offered a woman $20,000 to make accusations of sexual misconduct and workplace harassment against Mueller. And then Melissa Schwartz, who also represented Dr. Blasey Ford, she said, nice work by the Mueller team in getting ahead of this, a sad commentary on how low some will continue to go to undermine the work of the special counsel. Sexual assault and harassment allegations are not strategies to be used for political leverage, support survivors. Okay, then Anna Masoglia, she's with Open Secrets. She said special counsel's office was made aware of a scheme to pay off women to fabricate sexual harassment allegations against Robert Mueller in a scheme reportedly orchestrated by GOP lobbyist Jack Berkman, who was a fundraiser for Rick Gates' legal defense fund.
Wow. Everything is connected.
Here's more. This is Steve Vladek, a professor at University of Texas Law, says this Keystone Cop style conspiracy to discredit Mueller may, among a lot of other things, be a violation of 18 USC, and he quotes a law.
Uh-huh.
So they're doing something, you know, unlawful. And then Chris Majerian of the LA Times said the website Hill Reporter has been piecing together evidence that Berkman has teamed up with Jacob Wohl,
W-O-H-L, right. That's the other guy.
A right-wing tweeter to spread these allegations. And then Laura Rosen quote tweets, source code on the website itself directly links Wohl to Surefire Intelligence, a way to get better. Finally, the Horse Whisperer, H-O-A-R-S-E,
right.
Who I like.
Yep.
He says, both Jacob Wohl and his father, David Wohl, have now blocked me. I am seriously having karmagasm right now. I may need a cigarette. He then quotes his own tweet, Pro tip, Dave, talking to Dave Wohl. When you try to cook up a fake website for a fake company as part of a conspiracy involving wire fraud and obstruction of justice, they generally advise against putting your name in the registration record. And then he has a photo, what do you call it, a screen grab.
Yep, I saw it. Yep.
Yeah, proving that.
Yep.
He says... your dumbass, he's talking to, I guess, David Wohl. Your dumbass son didn't even manage to mask his name on the website he cooked up for this, Dave. I had to put on an astronaut diaper because I was laughing so hard at you and your moron progeny. I was at risk of wetting myself.
An astronaut diaper. I love it. Oh, that's too funny.
And finally, on today's tweets, I got through them. Trump didn't just try to get people to cover for his Pittsburgh trip. He lied about it. This is from the Daily Kos. Donald Trump is heading for Pittsburgh on Tuesday, despite the request. Okay, you played some clips about that or had that in your news thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Howard Fineman says Donald Trump's White House called the top Pennsylvania and Pittsburgh officials one at a time and lied to each that the others had agreed.
Oh.
White House did the same to Schumer and Pelosi.
Oh,
no one bit. White House also trying to push Trump into hospital rooms of victims, but most want no part of him.
Uh-huh. I don't blame him.
Can you believe this stuff?
I do believe it because it's all about Trump. Trump makes it all about himself. He doesn't give a shit about anyone else. It's all about him.
But they keep catching him. I mean, it's just insane. All right, so here's yesterday's. I swear I thought I had, maybe I do in this batch, a tweet about, we talked about it and I've forgotten what it was now. But anyway, okay, professor, random tweet, said, thanks to the media for facilitating the harm caused by Trump. And he gives examples. Show us the caravan some more. Ignore the kids he put in a cage. Don't bother interviewing foreign leaders who know he's an idiot. Don't challenge any Republicans to do something about him. Just maintain your access.
Yeah, just do what you do. That's all.
Because that's all that matters. Right. You know, Trump's out for Trump and the press is out for hits, so, you know, or viewers. Alex Burns from the New York Times said, imagine the conclusion you'd draw from another country and its president if you read that bombs had been mailed to a list of that president's favorite political targets, including a news organization, and that president had soon after called news media the enemy of the people.
Yeah, it is that dystopian novel that never would have gotten published because the plot was too outlandish.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Reuters is saying U.S. Supreme Court turns away Pennsylvania electoral map dispute.
Yay.
Rebuffed a bid by Republican legislators to reinstate a congressional district map struck down by that state's top court as unlawfully biased in favor of Republicans. So the Supreme Court actually did something.
Yes.
That worked.
And it sided with the good guys for once.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now you'll be happy to know that when I read the next one, I'm changing the word to refugees.
Okay.
The Wall Street Journal, the U.S. military is preparing to send 5,000 troops to the southern border in anticipation of a group of refugees making its way north through Mexico, a major escalation from the 800 troops the military said it would deploy last week. And Daryl Lind of Vox said the caravan is already smaller than 5,000 people and is expected to continue to shrink as it nears the U.S.-Mexico border. Mandatory note for all military at border content. They're on U.S. soil. They're not doing immigration enforcement. They're not armed.
Yes. You see, this is the thing. They can't be armed on U.S. soil. It's against the rules.
And here it is. Here's Vote Vets added.
Okay, there you go.
This is the one I was looking for. This is a political stunt. These troops legally cannot do anything other than logistics support. Gross misuse of our military, taking them away from exercises and work meant to truly defend America. Media must cover this as the ridiculous, wasteful stunt that it is. And then Tom Watson, columnist and author, said political misuse of the U.S. military is an impeachable offense. And then, yep. And then Duren Dahl, random tweeter, they're being deployed in a so-called support capacity. This is the tweet, which is how the act is being skated around. Thin ice indeed.
Wow.
It gets worse. Newsweek's James LaPorter, this is from yesterday, up to 14,000 troops will be ready to deploy to the southern border. Troops will be armed with lethal ammunition. There's an additional 7,000 troops on 24-hour standby per Pentagon documents obtained by Newsweek.
This is insane. So up to 14,000 and an additional 7,000, so that's 21,000?
And then Malcolm Nance adds, this is laughable, psychological operation the White House obviously has ordered into his information sphere. These, quote, plans are to give the impression that the U.S. Army is going to bring lethal weapons for who? Walking mothers, toothless posturing like this is unlawful orders.
Yep.
Steve Bannon tweeted, Steve King said of Europe's right-wing parties, quote, if they are in America pushing the platform that they push, they would be Republicans. And then he goes on to say, it's one of the most brutal criticisms of GOP politics I've seen in a while. And then LOL GOP adds, Europeans now know a Nazi party when they see one, Republican congressman argues.
I guess. Yeah. Steve King, there's a movement afoot to get him kicked out of Congress. Well, hopefully he'll just lose his election and that'll be that. But, you know, he's finally being recognized as the white supremacist that he is.
But they're voting for not only is the Republican Party voting for white supremacists, but they're voting for indicted candidates.
Yeah. Well, Chris Collins and Duncan Hunter, they're both still running. They're both under indictment. They both
should
lose. And
they're both leading.
If so, then just barely. I know the one in New York, Chris Collins, it's neck and neck. I think they both are tight.
Well, Duncan Hunter's leading, I think, by four. But and this is a big but for all of the polls that are coming out. We don't know who's voting. That's right. The thing. We don't know if the voting efforts are working or not. Now, there's been report after report saying that for early voting, it's been tabulated that more Republicans are early voting than Democrats.
Yep. Come on, people. I voted already. Anything else. I'm done. There's nothing else except, you know, make some phone calls, try to get people out to the polls to, you know, convince people to vote.
Yep. I've been doing my best to do the same thing, especially with my millennial buddies, because my kids are millennials. And so I can talk to their friends,
right?
Which I do. So, Nate Silver said, this is obvious, I guess, but if you want to cut down on both sidism, put people on TV who have a subject matter expertise acquired through reporting or research, not generalists who are asked to opine on a whole bunch of topics they don't really know anything about.
Good idea. You know, some of these, look, as somebody who's done a lot of interviews in my life, and some, you know, are things that I'm genuinely interested in, and I've done a few that you just have to do them. There's a big difference. And what they do on cable news with these panels of CNN's the worst. They'll have like six or eight people on at the same time. And then they invariably all start talking over one another. You can't hear a word. They always have some crazy, you know, like Rick Santorum or somebody like that. It's like, I don't want to listen to this person.
I agree with that 100%. Yeah. ABC News tweeted, religious leaders interrupt Attorney General Jeff Sessions' speech. Quote, Brother Jeff, as a fellow United Methodist, I call upon you to repent, to care for those in need. Sessions, well, thank you for those remarks and attack, but I would just tell you, we do our best every day.
Well, here, have you heard it?
I did. Didn't he get kicked out?
Yeah, well, here's some of it. Here
we go. One reason why they...
I was hungry, and you did not feed me. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. I was naked. And you did not clothe me. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me.
Thank you for your comments. And
in prison, and you did not visit me. Brother Jeff, as a fellow United Methodist, I call upon you to repent, to care for those in need. To remember that when you do not...
All right, that's enough of it. And so he finished and they pull him out of there. Once they get him out, another guy stands up and starts in the same stuff and everybody started yelling at him.
Right. Well, Brandy Buckman, Courthouse News, added to that. She says, if this is deemed an attack, a man repeating the words of his faith, calmly beseeching the AG to do the same, hands down, no weapons. I think that says a lot. First Amendment at work here. An issue the AG has been quick to tell others they need more tolerance for.
Good point.
Yeah. New York Times headline was Trump persuaded struggling people to invest in scams, lawsuit says. And our buddy Cliff Schechter said, I love his tweets, beyond his racism, anti-Semitism, money laundering, allowing foreign powers to undermine U.S. elections, obstruction of justice and sexual assault, our president operated for years as a two-bit con, cheating vulnerable people out of their money. Because he's a talentless pile of flab who sucks as a human.
Cliff, tell us what you really think.
Come on, be more descriptive.
Right.
And then Chris in Paris adds, as the articles have said, most of his day is unscheduled, so if you raise your head, you'll get caught in his daily rage and only make your situation worse. But it's the thousands of U.S. employees with families and bills to pay who are getting hit. That fucker has no idea. Gabe Sherman of Vanity Fair was saying on Fox and Friends, Brian Kilmeade says, entire populations that might have diseases trying to come to America. And Joyce Vance, the attorney, said, in Nazi Germany, propaganda films portrayed Jews as vermin carrying disease. Dehumanizing people is the first step.
Yeah, I guess that there was... I saw some stuff last night where they're talking about these people have leprosy and they have a disease, polio. They're saying they're bringing leprosy, they're bringing polio, they're bringing diseases that were smallpox. They said smallpox, which was eradicated in the 40s, I believe. This is what they're claiming, that these refugees are bringing all this disease.
I'm skipping the next one. Okay. I'm going right to Rick Wilson. Okay. He said this about Gab.
Yes.
You know, I'm not going to call it a social media site because it's not. It's specifically for
white supremacists.
Racist,
right.
Yeah.
It's
racist,
like a Twitter for them.
Yeah. He says, you're also a gleeful swamp of raging anti-Semites, alt-right incel cockwombles, slack-jawed Klan dickweeds, and neo-cryptic and real Nazis. The thin veneer that you're a free speech platform belies the fact civilized people aren't required to enable your wretched bullshit.
What a way with words.
I love
his
really tweets.
Good.
Yeah, he's really good. He and Cliff should get together.
Yeah.
Andrew Feinberg, a White House correspondent, said, wow, press secretary won't say whether Trump would suspend habeas corpus or posse comitatus in response to what he calls an invasion.
Oh, God.
I did mention that earlier, but this was a specific tweet to that point.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He can call it an invasion and then he can do what he wants.
Yeah, I know.
Our buddy Jeff Tiedrick said, weird how you never hear of defective voting machines switching Republican votes to Democratic.
Huh.
It's almost as if there were some darker issue going on here, but I can't quite put my finger on it.
Yeah, you know, that is a hell of an observation. They never switch in favor of the Democrat. They always switch to the Republican. Interesting how that happens.
And that, yeah, it's so weird. I'll skip the next one because we covered Jeff Smith.
Yep.
And the last one is
yeah, this is the messianic rabbi.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Oh, so, yeah, we pretty much did that one. Rabbi Lauren Jacobs of Messianic Synagogue, Shema Yisrael, offers prayer before Pence speaks at Michigan campus event. Quote, God of Abraham, God and Father of my Lord and Savior Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, hate inspired.
See right there, at me being the non-religious person that I am, I don't know if God of Abraham, if the Jews would say that, the Father of my Lord and Savior, I wouldn't know if that, but when he said Jesus the Messiah, I said, there's something wrong here. I know that there's something wrong here.
Chris Savage of Eclectic Blog said, Pence apparently couldn't find an actual rabbi. Instead, he got a Christian leader of a group of Christians who call themselves Messianic Jews. Yeshua equals Jesus. Actual Jews paying attention to this are outraged at this decision, by the way.
Yeah,
but yeah, the whole Jesus is whatever, Savior. No, I don't know. I'm completely irreligious. I know nothing about religion other than what I hear in passing.
Right.
And that got my attention.
Yeah. Again, when I saw that the Jesus, the Messiah, it's like, okay, I know this is not the Judaism that I know as much as I know it.
Yeah.
I knew. Yeah. Jesus.
The little bit of religious school I was sent to as a kid, I know there was no mention of Jesus.
No. Well, my religious school was watching the movie The Ten Commandments on Easter.
I kid
you not. That's not a joke. That is the extent of my religious education.
I grew up in a very secular home.
We used to bet on the Halloween candles. We'd each pick a color and we'd bet whose would burn down fastest. We bet. We didn't do the prayers over the candles. We lit them so we could pick our color to see whose would burn down first.
That's awesome.
Traditions. Family traditions.
Yes. Memories.
Yes. With that, we're just about done for the day. 7 days, people. 7 days left.
Vote.
Get out
Vote.
And do whatever you can, even if it's phone banking or they're texting the hell out of my phone, and I hate it, but I guess that's what they're doing to try to get millennials. You can text, you can canvas, you can do stuff to get people to vote. That's the most important thing we can do right now.
And then go have lunch.
Sure. And then do it all over again. All right.
Eating is a...
Gotta Laugh. Find her at on Twitter at Gotta Laugh. And, of course, at NicoleSandler.com. And we'll see you next week.